Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And we are back in the rugby dungeon to talk about the final round of the Premiership's regular season. And I suppose, thinking about it, we're also talking about the start of the Pro 14 season. Who saw that one coming?
Oh, yeah.
The Pro 14 has started.
It's back!
The 2020-2021 season has begun. I watched a couple of games. I watched the highlights of a couple of games. My beloved Ulster against JB's beloved Benetton, and it was a pretty good game.
So I hear
Ulster did win in the end, but just inside the second half, when Benetton scored, they went into the lead. I think 24-21 or something like that. It was at the time, and it was close. The other game that I watched, I don't know if you've heard or read any of it, but the finish to Scarlett's Munster.
Oh, the massive kick by.
Don't tell me Munster won it.
So, yeah. 10 minutes to go.
Munster did not win this game.
10 minutes to go. So, Halfpenny kicking everything.
Did he not get 9 penalties? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, he was on 9 penalties. 27 points they scored through penalties.
Oh, my God.
With Halfpenny near perfect. I think he might have even been perfect kicking record. 10 minutes to go. It's... what is it? It's 24-17? No, it's 24-17, because Munster had just scored a try, but Peter O'Mahony flops onto one of the Scarlets tacklers as Farrell's scoring the try with no arms, makes contact with the head.
Of course.
Gets a second yellow card, he's off. So they're
you don't see that very often, do you, a second yellow?
I was thinking that today.
Yeah. Halfpenny slots the penalty, I think. So it's 27-24 and... No, it's 27-20 because Munster score a try with 2 minutes to go to level it up. They score a try, convert it, so it's 27-all, and then Scarlets concede a penalty inside the Munster half, and the young lad, the reserve halfback or reserve fly half, slots one from 55 metres to win the game.
Yeah.
With a man down for the last 10.
So you go, Pro 14's back. Unfortunately.
I was hitched on that game. I was reading through Twitter. I can't remember who tweeted this, but it was interesting. So, like, Scarlets on Munstering Munster. How it went down.
Yeah, the grinding out penalties, kicking those penalties. Aggressive defence, winding up the opposition.
I don't know why I get so upset about Munster winning. There's no reason for it. They're such a great club, but
are a great club.
So you'll know, like last week we did a midweek domestic podcast. That's our famed MWDP that makes an appearance from time to time. We're going to rename today's podcast.
Oh?
The Monday... No? An MMSP. The Monday Morning Scandal Podcast. So scandalous. Because it's all happening. So, it was the round 22 of the Gallagher Premiership. And
It was two-thirds of round 22 of the Gallagher Premiership.
Yeah. So we've got to wade into this mess.
I guess we do. Here's a question for you, an opening question, a little gambit. How much would the salary cap be if you had to include solicitors?
The Saracens the bill of Saracen solicitors last season would have been astronomical, even though, having read through the entire 102-page Dyson report, the Saracen solicitor, I don't think they won a single argument throughout the whole report.
Yeah, every single point, everything they were paid to do, they did.
Yeah, you might argue that is one of the worst performances by any law firm ever in the history of law.
When we're wrapping up the 2019-2020 season, the single worst performance will be Saracen solicitors.
yeah, which is in stark contrast to their accountancy side. A great job for years. I mean, they must be shaking their head at their legal counterparts.
And Leicester Tigers will be devastated not to get worst performance of the season after the myriad of records they've broken
with their awful
performances.
Yeah, well, I imagine that a lot of solicitors are going to get a lot richer when all this is sorted out.
So, where are we at? We were so excited, as everyone was, about this crescendo to the regular league season and four teams battling for three spots in the playoffs. And that's what was it. Everyone was excited about until, on Friday morning, story drops. Sale have double figures, then it was 16, and I think in total in there, including players and backroom staff, it's 19 positive cases of coronavirus.
Yeah. So I'm laughing because it just occurred to me, Pat Lamb's comment. 19 cases, what were they doing? I'm like, well, I don't know, Pat. Rugby? I mean, maybe they were doing rugby? I have no idea. But, like, what must Pat Lamb think they were doing? That's what I want to know.
Well, there's lots...
What would be on Pat Lamb's list?
There's lots to get into here. So, let's just recap very briefly. Friday, we hear about the positive cases, which throws the viability of Sale's game against Worcester into doubt. And because Sale played Northampton on Tuesday, it threw the viability of Northampton's game against Gloucester into doubt because of... contact tracing and the need to isolate.
That is an interesting thing for me because these players are tested. They've tested a couple of days before every game, which throughout this period has meant they're tested at least once a week and more like twice a week. Well, they are tested twice a week when they're having two games a week. Mm. But from the timeline on this, because of the Premiership Cup, which they were tested, and then they were tested at the end of that week. So they tested the week before, or a few days before the Premiership Cup, tested at the end of that week as well, and then tested this week. And Sale clearly passed the middle point of those tests.
Yes.
They passed the one just before the weekend just gone.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Northampton have passed this one, but I'm guessing there's an incubation period for this.
Right, okay, so...
But let's just go back to the bare bones. So there was all this question mark, can the game go ahead? Can the game not go ahead? Ultimately, the Northampton versus Gloucester game was cancelled. The Sale versus Worcester game was postponed. So Sale had 19 positive cases, as it turned out. Those players were isolated using the protocols. And Sale say all individuals who had reason to isolate due to their proximity to them were also isolated. Sale said, this is the crucial bit, Sale said they could fulfil the fixture with players who weren't positive and didn't need to isolate, as per the regulations, but yet the game didn't go ahead.
Yes.
I don't know whether that was because Worcester or whether because Premier Rugby said, oh, we're not happy with that.
Well, then in my head, this is where you tie back to that incubation period.
Yeah.
Because just because not all of those players... or a certain number of those players didn't test positive on the Thursday, Friday, because they got released on the Saturday, the information.
Yeah.
But just because a number of them didn't test positive doesn't mean that they were not carrying the virus. And so you'd need to get, in my head, you need to get another negative test several days later to confirm that they do not have the virus and are free to play.
Which is what they're doing on Monday.
Otherwise,
Tuesday.
All those players would still have
to... Sorry, testing on Monday.
All those players would still have to go into mandatory isolation period. And in my head, a negative test overrules... This is the way it appears to be doing. A negative test overrules the requirement for the isolation period.
Yeah,
so otherwise, basically, the whole Sale squad would be isolated.
Well, this is one of the things which... I can understand fans... question, well, you know, fans of other clubs or whatever questioning this. It is interesting. There were quite, there was a high concentration of virology experts in Bristol. And Bath. And
Bath after 5pm this weekend.
Which we can get into.
So the interesting bit to me, which I don't know if we've touched on, but it's how this all came about. So at the start of the film, you said they've been tested once a week, maybe twice a week.
Yeah.
But, well, that didn't happen. Certainly not in Sale's case. And the other thing which we've not mentioned is the false positive. Right, so Sale get tested on the... Wednesday or the Tuesday after the Wednesday after the European Cup.
They played on the Monday night in the Premiership Cup final. Yes. They got tested on the Wednesday.
And they got tested
last
on
Wednesday.
All of those tests came back as negative.
Yeah.
Okay. Except for one, which came back later as a false negative. So they had a positive player training with them for a couple of days, at least a couple of days. They followed the protocol, everyone was notified, and that player went wherever that player went, into isolation.
You've got to talk into the mic, mate.
I am talking into the mic.
No, your head's moving all over the place. It's that microphone, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why. So, after that, all the players, and this isn't privileged information, everyone will know this if you follow rugby and you follow your club, you'll know that they get some days off. So then they had 3 days off. So the squad disperse and they do whatever people do when they have their days off. They go spend the time with family, walking the dogs, you know, whatever it is. And then they get back together.
Licking supermarket trolleys.
Yeah, absolutely. there's an enormous amount of things that young professional men, professional rugby players can get up to.
Having instigating giant parties in university halls of residence.
Hanging out with Cam Newton. You know, there was an awful lot of things that they could be getting up to. And then they all... Come back into training. They then get tested again, right? Before the Worcester game, which is the latest lot of tests when the 16 come about. Now, here's some questions for you, which I think need to be answered pretty much immediately. Which is, it's not Sale Sharks' job to test the players. The testing regime comes from Premier Rugby. So once Premier Rugby realise that they've got a false negative in the squad. Furthermore, it's in an area which is more at risk, I think, than pretty much any other club in the country. And then the testing schedule is 8 days apart. They do nothing about it. So it's all very well people pointing to the fact that Sale had a few beers on whenever it was. But I do think that the gaps in testing here are absolutely critical, because if they pick this up earlier on in the week, a lot more stuff could be done. And if these guys were positive because of the player
who was told was negative, but yeah, actually was positive.
Well, they've already had it for like 8 days. It's a really important point. So what were Premier Rugby doing?
So the two things I'll say around that. One is the your interview with Baxter last week, Tim, and your interview with this week with Baxter, where you brought up this point. And it was only last week where Rob Baxter, who's an incredibly sensible man, was saying, look, there's a huge expense in testing here.
Yeah.
We've had, and I've got the numbers in front of me over the past 13 weeks, and it is 1,000 tests, no positive. 1,000 tests, one player. 1,000 tests, two players, two members of staff. 1,000, so you've got such low numbers. He was questioning the need for testing, or certainly at the level of this. So there's that side of it. The other side of it is the protocols, the track and trace protocols that you referred to before, which, as I understand it, is the clubs who do that. There's something that's gone wrong. So within the clubs, there is there's the track and trace protocol to look back through training, look back at who's been in contact with who, and follow that through. There is also processes that I understand in place, things like you're splitting the team into two team buses for away games,
yeah.
Having small bubbles for contact, having small bubbles for scrummaging and all the rest of it, which is supposed to both limit the exposure of anyone in close contact, but also stop the spread of risk. And that, so one of those things appears to have broken down for it to have spread so far in Sale, because other clubs, there have been players testing positive in every other club, And no other club has had this level of spread.
Yeah. Also, not had him in the squad for 3 days, you know, in the vicinity. It does tend to spread. Now, you know, you might be lucky as a club and catch the one player here or the one player there. But yeah, I for the life of me, I do not think two different bubbles work. I do not think that all these precautions work. I think it's an absolute nonsense.
Well, but the numbers would
suggest it has.
It has worked for every other club. As in every other club has had players, and every other club they're testing a week apart, 7 days apart, 10 days apart. Then 4 days because you're playing twice a week. Then 7 days, then 4 days. And over those periods, every other club has had positive tests, and no other club has had a spike like this.
Yeah, I mean,
so something appears to have gone wrong.
I just think they've just been unlucky. I mean, you point to these cases where they have appeared, right? But no one has had a false positive. No one has actually had a player in camp for that long. Not that we know of.
No one's had a false positive. But that shouldn't change your behaviours.
No, but I don't think that the separating out of the squad, if someone was in there for 3 days, would make the slightest bit of difference.
Mm. But the false positive, if the processes in there are correct, which they appear to work for,
do we really think that? With all the two bubbles and all the things in the world which they want to put in there, that COVID would potentially not spread. So I think it's ridiculous to think that. When you're playing a contact sport, when you're doing your wrestling, when you're doing your warming up, when you're doing whatever it is, when you're touching surfaces, I just don't think it's realistic.
But I tend to agree based on what I know about the virus. However, then, how do you explain that no other team has had this kind of outbreak? Because they're all doing the same stuff, aren't they?
I look back at the numbers and say, I think that they've been fortunate.
Well, so 11 out of 12 for 13 weeks have been fortunate and one.
I would say so.
That does seem like a roll of the dice kind of response.
Because you've got a guy in there who has had COVID COVID positive, not just not displaying symptoms, not picked up but positive, actually positive within the camp for that amount of time. And you don't know what Sale were doing in the run-up to that game, which other clubs might not have been doing, whether it be more contact, whether it be things which are completely within the realms
I think we can extend a little bit of empathy towards Sale Sharks for having a player that was positive in their camp for 8 days between tests before they were told, actually, they're positive. You know, we said they were negative. They're not. So, here are the questions that fans are asking. So let's deal with these. It's one rule for one club and another rule for another. So there is a suggestion. There is a sense in a bunch of fans that Sale have been given some special treatment by allowing their game to be postponed, whereas Northampton, who all they did was play against Sale, have had to have their game cancelled.
Let me just address that a second. Not that exact point, but a similar point, which is regarding the Northampton, the reason Northampton couldn't raise a team. So the COVID rules, I think, must be slightly different for rugby clubs to what they are in the general population. We actually know this because they play rugby and we can't.
Yeah.
Right, so there is obviously some sort of difference. One of the differences is, you're not, how can I say, I need to get my words right now. Us three now, if I had COVID, would not be classed as being together. So if I had COVID, I don't think you guys have to socially isolate. You would have to socially isolate, though, if you had a certain amount of contact time, like face-to-face time. And this must be in the rules somewhere. So if you were, say, scrummaging, which would be a good one, that would be when we're in very, very close contact. So I think that is how they are working out who needs to isolate and who doesn't need to isolate. So in the Northampton case, I don't know who has it or who doesn't, but you can assume that maybe if it's a front row, that then that causes Northampton all sorts of issues because they do have enough contact in order to generate that track and trace and isolation.
That's how they've worked it out.
The reason given for the Northampton game was their failure to get out six experienced front rows.
So let's just deal with this question. Sale are getting special treatment here, and PRL are making up rules on the fly as they go to benefit Sale and to stitch up Northampton.
Probably. That's what I would say.
Phil Winstanley from Premier Rugby on BT Sport said it's because they were following the rules that they had, the only option they had was to postpone the game.
This is basically a story about two teams now. Premier Rugby's lawyers and Sale Sharks lawyers. And it comes on, and it's going to be that, it's going to be that simple. Sale Sharks will look at this and say, we have followed all of the COVID rules.
What, so are you saying Phil Winstanley was not telling the truth on BT Sport?
I suggest that Northampton think Phil Winstanley was not telling the truth on,
about,
on BT
about
Sport.
A very specific thing, not, but, I mean, not about that broad point.
Little lie, big lie. Who cares? I think, actually, the rules as written...
Well, we don't. Well, that's one thing. Do we know them? Does anybody know them? Are they in the public domain? Well, this guidance that was supposedly organised before the return of rugby? As far as I'm aware, I don't think he's out there.
I'd be amazed. I'm not sure if he's out there or not, but I'd be amazed if this has not been dealt with. And it says, I think, in the Times that everyone agreed in this kind of situation that the game would be called off, that you'd forfeit.
No, if you're not able to...
Yeah.
So this is a very, very important point here. So Sale said they could fulfil the fixture.
Yeah.
Northampton said they couldn't.
Yeah.
The rules were... This is what Phil Winstanley from Premier Rugby said. Northampton were forced to forfeit the game and 5 points be given to Gloucester and a 20-0 scoreline because they said they couldn't fulfil a 23. Sale said they could, therefore we had to follow the rules and our only option was to postpone it because Public Health England got involved and Worcester... I don't know if Worcester had concerns themselves.
Worcester did not want to play the game. They were not...
Probably not. Surprisingly, because it means nothing to them.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would totally understand it.
I'm not against Worcester for saying that. I think if Worcester don't want to play it, that's on
them. Difficulty here is the sense of injustice that some people feel. Like they think, I actually think, from what I heard, the rules were applied, and that's why all that could happen was it could be postponed because they can't say to Sale, I know you've said you can fulfil the fixture, but we're going to give Worcester 5 points.
Well, you think you've covered it off and you've written it down. And when someone actually smart looks at it and goes, hang on, you've not covered off. You've said, if you're not able to fulfil a fixture because of COVID, that it has to be called off. And they're going, yes, we can fulfil a fixture, and these rules should... But I think in the minds of the Premiership organisers and the Premiership clubs who are not called Sale Sharks, they had this covered off. I don't think that the rules were watertight enough, which is remarkable considering where we are in the world.
Yeah.
Absolutely remarkable. So
there's clearly, I think, basically the contact tracing, like you said, looking through training videos, match videos to see who's had contact with who. I think basically they want to see Sales working out on how 23 people available to... We want to see you're working out, and for that reason we're going to put it back to Wednesday, because they may well find out when they go and check the tape. Yeah. No. That player needs to go and isolate.
Why it's gone to Wednesday, in my opinion, it's because Sale have caught Premier Rugby bang to rights with their testing. They've got legitimate questions about why weren't they tested again. Here's a point. I mean, if the test centre wasn't in Northern Ireland, they had to fly over by helicopter, they probably would have thrown all the tests in the car and driven them there themselves. I mean, seriously, they probably would have. It's too important for... Sale have got them bang to rights. Premier Rugby were like, hang on a minute, we think that you should do X, Y, Z, and they're basically trying to sort this out. And no decisions can be made until there's blame to go around. That's what I think.
But just, I'm just trying to address the points that people are saying, and the one that
they're right, they are making it up on the spot.
But so Premier Rugby have said they're following their pre-agreed rules. Although before rugby restarted, they did say there will not be any rearranged fixtures
due to
this. Yeah,
Premier Rugby are not following their own rules. They might say that they're following their own rules. They had a set of rules in their mind which should have been applied, and they weren't because they weren't written in strong enough language, would be my suggestion. Which is why they've got this ludicrous situation where the last game of the season is now going to be a Wednesday instead of tepid Sunday.
But this... In my mind, it's interesting your take on this, that it's, you're kind of saying it's Premier Rugby versus Sale Sharks, it's whose lawyers win. In my mind, Premier Rugby are, kind of as you're saying, Tim, they are bending over backwards to try and accommodate Sale in this, to try and give Sale the opportunity to fulfil this fixture and do so safely. And they're going to, as part of that, look back through all the training tape and check that Sale did follow the processes, because Sale have said they absolutely followed all the processes. They're going to do an investigation on that. They are also then going to do a further round of testing and confirm if both those things are positive and okay, then Sale get their shot. And whatever team Sale can muster are going to get their shot.
I couldn't disagree with that more. I think that...
Jay, Mike.
I think that it is more to do with the fact that Sale have complied with everything. The way the tests have been handled do not look good on either the people that do the tests or Premier Rugby. Premier Rugby know that and some degree that they are liable to this, for this, and they don't want to be on the hook. I think that's got... And I think that's why Sale will be under investigation on Monday morning, like it says in the Times, because somebody wants to pin some blame on someone else. It's almost like you've got two insurance companies fighting over, an insurance claim, and they're all looking for the technicality which gets the other one off.
So, Premier Rugby... So basically, all I'm saying is, let's on that particular point of the rules being changed,
yeah.
I don't think that there's a lot of... there's a lot of sort of anger and tension thrown Sale Sharks' way, which I don't think it applies there. But let's move on to a separate point where maybe it could be. Who knows? Where, let's actually deal with this one point. So Premier Rugby, Phil Winstanley from Premier Rugby said on BT Sport that Northampton were given the opportunity to but weren't able to sign front row players to be able to fulfil a fixture. Northampton have put out a statement since this evening and said that's absolutely not the case.
Do you have the statement in front of you?
No, but they've just said no, it was wrong.
Yeah, because we read the statement before the podcast, didn't we? And it was fairly explicit and it's fairly... No, we were told that we couldn't do that. No.
So again, all I'm saying is that if you piece all of these bits together so far, the consistent element here is Premiership Rugby. They didn't make it clear before. They haven't published these rules so we can measure what's happened up against what they said. They're saying things which clubs are contradicting. Steve Diamond was on there saying there was a false negative and there was this odd gap of time where we weren't tested. I would suggest the common theme we're identifying so far is that there's administrative issues, not necessarily one club playing fast and loose, but that point would lead on to this this supposed breach of, I don't know, just society rules, where Sale have been on a massive bender out in town in Manchester.
I do like that theory. You find the one thing that might be fun, and then you pin it on people. I mean, that's very much a pandemic thing, isn't it? Oh, well, you had fun, therefore you must... it's your own fault that you got COVID because you went for a beer. And that's just not how it works.
I was going to say, as far as I'm aware, people are allowed to go to a pub.
Yeah, I mean,
for example, just on that point,
I assume, would have had lots and lots of beers back down to London. So technically, it's Harlequins that were out in, out to the early hours. Not
on a four-hour coach journey.
Yeah, I mean, they're on a coach, of course. But
two coaches.
They took two coaches, one for beer, one for players.
That's egregious. Two coaches.
Yeah.
I'd have been on the port and cheese beer, on the port and cheese coach.
Yeah. Unless you can prove it to me that the players were... I don't know where you'd go in Manchester. If the Sale players can tell me where to go out in Manchester right now...
On a Sunday night?
Yeah.
It's perfect time after the pod.
This was a Monday night.
Monday night. I mean, we've not been able to go out for late Monday night.
This was actually the day before the curfew came in.
Yeah, but even so, I mean, where do you go?
Yeah.
Mojo's hasn't been open for months now.
Straight to those University Halls of Residence. Welcome the new people. Get involved in a massive rave. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what...
I'm pretty sure that Sale Sharks players would have been noticed in the Halls of Residence.
These enormous South African men.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it didn't happen because I don't know. So maybe someone's got... a video or a picture or something. If you are that person, do not come forward.
If that happens, Steve Diamond is going to look very, very silly because he said outright it didn't happen. Point being, I just there is no smoking gun for Sale Sharks as it stands, and yet when you look at Twitter, it was just...
Because people want a story, don't they? They want a story, and one thing we do definitely know is that Sale Sharks enjoyed a few beers at Carrington after they won the Premiership Rugby Club, as is their right.
Yeah, and from what I heard, wives and girlfriends and that weren't even allowed.
Can I just tell you an anecdote?
The players only
in
Carrington.
I'll tell you an anecdotal story about Sale...
Sorry, it's just scandalous. Go on.
Just after the pandemic, I was due to meet somebody at Sale Sharks at the new training ground. Okay? Now, this is before the training ground was even open. And just to give you an idea of how serious it is, even with nobody there, right, I was going to meet one other person there. Even with nobody there, I got a phone call about 10 minutes before I was due to arrive saying, look, we'll show you around, but we can't do it now because of the pandemic. As soon as everything is over, we will do it. Now, there were no players there. Everyone was still off. There was no training. There was no nothing. You simply couldn't go to what was effectively a building site then. Well, not a building site, but it wasn't their training base because they take it that seriously. They won't even have you through the gate. So, I think it's very unlikely that they'd have done that. I'm not saying they hadn't, but in my experience, it'd be incredibly unlikely.
Hmm. But we will, by probably Tuesday afternoon, we will know. So there's going to be another. There's going to be an investigation.
I don't think the game's going to happen.
Do you want to know my conspiracy theory?
Oh, I love a conspiracy theory.
My conspiracy theory is, as always,
I want to hear you say it into the microphone, though.
As always, Sale are very, very smart. So the people at the top of Sale are incredibly inventive men. And it wouldn't surprise me if the game plan here was to just push this back until they knew the results. So if Bath would have lost...
They don't need to play.
Huh?
They don't need to play.
Well, they do need to play, because if they forfeit, they still lose by 20 points. But if the Department of Sports and Culture call it off, it's a 0-0 draw. There's two
points each.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, exactly. So a draw would have seen Sale go through if Bath had lost. Bath, annoyingly for lots of neutrals...
Neutrals everywhere.
Got themselves a draw. They were about... they were Mario Itoje roll away and penalty away from losing the game. And
well, they were also minutes away from winning the game, because it was only in the whatever 60 odd minutes when that penalty try went over. And then your boy, Swinners scored the match drawer, and they managed to snatch a draw from the...
Let's get into the game. I feel like we've sort of very messily meandered through that. I feel like
As messy as Premiership Rugby handled it.
Well,
maybe not that messy.
No, I don't think that messy.
Maybe our messiness is a nice reflection of how it has been handled.
Yeah,
maybe.
Just summarising positions, like the culpability here, whether everyone should be angry at, or who people should be angry at, if anyone, where we're at and what we think is going to happen next.
Okay, be angry at Premier Rugby. The testing was not adequate, and now they've been found bang to rights. They are trying to engineer a situation where they can go up to Sale Sharks, prove that Sale Sharks are in the wrong, so they don't have to cop the blame for what is undoubtedly their fault. I think they're looking for a technicality. That would be my view.
I think be disappointed at both PRL's handling of this and also Sale's handling of this. There is something has gone on with the way that Sale have managed their players, managed the processes, managed the protocols, that has led to 19 people in their organisation, where other clubs have had similar situations and it's not spread anywhere near. So be disappointed, but don't be. I don't want to say be angry at either party yet.
No, be angry at Premier Rugby.
Okay, and. I think probably the most likely situation is the game does not go ahead.
Yeah.
For what could be a number of reasons, either further positive tests or PRL do find some breach in protocols when they're investigating the game tape. So the table will finish exactly as it looks now, albeit Sale will get an extra 2 points. Oh, no, because they'll get a 20-0 loss because it'll be their fault. Yeah.
No, it depends how it's called off.
Yeah, so I think...
The table will be in position.
So I'm saying it will be called off because of either more positive test cases for Sale or they are found to have breached some protocol.
The Sale, the fifth best team in the country.
Well, this is...
I think the game probably won't go ahead for the reasons you've already said. And I just wish... there's so many examples of this, and this is one of the awful things about social media, the rush to judgment and the rush to outrage.
They weren't judging him, they knew.
Yeah, well, exactly.
They were very
How
sure.
many more cases do we have to see of a partial part of a story coming out and people spreading spreading an angle of a story like Wildfire. Remember those Covington kids?
I do. Not one for the podcast, I might add.
No, it's not one for the podcast. But that Covington kids was one of the... And he settled with...
200 million, was it?
With some ridiculous amount of money with a news network in America who just put out a partial part of a story. That went around the world on social media before anyone actually went, should we look at the full context before we make a judgment?
I had many, many texts today saying, I know Cell Sharks. Not me personally. My mate has told me Cell Sharks are out in university halls and all the rest of it. So I'm pretty sure they haven't. You know, it was a very, very... who knows?
Who knows what will come to light?
Who knows?
But I'm not going to say until you know that is the case...
Yeah, I've not seen any evidence of it.
Stop it.
Yeah, stop it.
Like, I thought rugby was better than that, but anyway...
That's ridiculous.
But I think getting all the information from both Cell Sharks and Premier Rugby on a Sunday evening after the games, after we've had 48 hours or so of... a cesspit on Twitter and people making up their mind what the story was, just says to me, get the information out in full and early.
If you read between the lines, doesn't that tell you, though, how acrimonious the disagreement must be between Premier Rugby and Cell?
I think it might be the way that rugby runs its business a little bit, and it needs to get better at managing situations like this and the comms process being a little bit more...
A comms process? What, a Premier Rugby? Are you joking? Do you know who runs the comms at Premier Rugby?
I would just try and be a little bit more assertive and get out ahead of these issues.
The comms of Premier Rugby is limited to telling female journalists that they did well with a calm response. I wouldn't put any stock or any value in anything which they do.
So JB's last comment.
I asked them. I did put out on our Twitter account at Rugby Podcast.
Well done for your calm response.
Any other scandals? Any other scandals, guys and or men or women or whatever? I said guys. I didn't say that in the question. Whatever. See what Twitter does to you. Yeah. Makes you worried about even on a podcast using the word guys. Anyway, Paul Hilling has tweeted to at Rugby Podcast and said, scandal. One of the lads took his missus...
What?
...to the players' dinner.
Wow.
Where does this rank in the list of scandals?
High.
Yeah.
Very high.
Have you ever taken a missus to the club dinner?
The club dinner? Do you want to go?
To the players' dinner?
Not the players. I can't think of anything where she'd rather less be. hang on. One last question for you. I don't think we finished with this with the sale thing.
Okay.
Well, there were a lot of rumours going around, some of them partially true, that Sale might have had to put out a team which wouldn't look very much like a Sale Sharks team.
Well, Diamond, did you hear what he said? He said the first team would be a good strength and then there might be a few kids on the bench. But he's got history of doing that over the last few years. So there'd be nothing unusual there.
So, I mean, there were a few instances, weren't there? I mean, Jonathan Mills was cited around Manchester.
Yeah.
And we'd welcome him back with open arms. It'd be great to have a...
Former friend of the pod.
Yeah. One last dance. If I was Dimes, do you know who I'd be calling?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
Brady.
Us.
Stop Brady from selling electrical vehicle charging points and get him on.
Exactly.
And lacing his boots.
He can bring Don Barrow with him too.
Don Barrow, yeah.
So he could definitely do a shift. Are there any other local... Dean Schofield's still about. He's a big man.
Dean Schofield's an enormous man.
I mean, he could do 10 minutes off the bench.
Yeah.
Sammy Tupu
they were trying to get him on the bench.
We don't know.
No, that's what Dime said. He said him and Neil Briggs.
If Dime said to you, look, you just need to sit on the bench, we won't get you on for anything more than the last 10 minutes, would you do it?
100% yes.
I would be terrified, but I also would love to feel what Premiership rugby is actually like for person. Just like,
but where do you play to be least exposed?
I'm going on the wing.
The high balls with people smashing you as soon as you catch it.
It's my position.
I guess Don Bigger.
If Duncan Weir or whatever spotted me on the wing or JB, he'd like, right, I'm sticking a bomb up on you.
The wing is not where I want to be.
So I am definitely not going in the tight.
I think second row I'd be fairly well hit.
Yeah, I think I might stand out at second row a little bit.
Yeah, actually, thinking about that, quite often, I reckon I could tackle the odd person around the fringe of a ruck, just sort of get them to deck somehow. But it's the places you'd be exposed. Yeah, against Worcester, Ollie Lawrence hitting a really hard line back at you.
Oh God,
no thanks.
Yeah, but mate, you just double tackle, right? You just get
John Luke,
your man, your man.
Yeah. Double tackle. Everything's a double tackle. I would definitely do it for the last 5 minutes. Why not?
Yeah, for sure.
So on Wednesday, Dimes, if you need three extra bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not at the same time, of course. That'd be a disaster.
I think this is...
Your man, JB.
See, rugby's got a little financial issue at the minute. I think this is the answer, auctioning off bench spots. Maybe a 24th man, you have to get a minimum of 5 minutes. Everyone has a 24th man who is auctioned off to raise money to pay for clubs.
I get it, right? But the Venn diagram of people that are A, rich enough to support the club through auction, and then B, in shape enough to actually play.
To not be killed.
Yeah, it'd be the same guys that...
So like schlubby millionaire.
It'd be the same...
Some schlubby 60-year-old having a midlife crisis.
Yeah, exactly.
And then a heart attack when he gets onto the pitch.
The same people that do, like, white-collar boxing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to think of the list of people that would be rich enough to do this. And one, The Rock. Outside of The Rock. Yes. The Rock's not interested, right?
John Cena?
John Cena.
Anyone with a wrestling background.
Bill Gates get annihilated.
Bill Gates, that would be...
I bet Usain Bolt would do it. People like that. People who have retired from one sport and are giving it a go.
There's some movie stars. So outside The Rock, some movie stars are in incredible shape, like Mark Wahlberg.
Chris Hemsworth.
No, do you know what it would be? It would be like nightclub owners getting their biggest bouncer, paying for their biggest bouncer to do it.
Like Gary Lineker's brother.
Yeah, Wayne Lineker.
Wayne Lineker could probably afford to send a guy there.
Wayne Lineker, I reckon he'd fancy himself.
But have you ever played against absolutely enormous bodybuilder types?
Yeah. All the time.
Rubbish.
All you have to do is like move 1 foot to the right, and they have to move their whole body to actually see where you've gone.
Enormous fella from, where did he play? I'm not going to say the club because it'd be so obvious who it was. Absolutely terrible. One of the worst players that I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, and this is the old thing that we always say: the lower you go down the leagues, the more someone looks like they're going to be incredible. The worst.
Oh yeah. I saw a guy.
It's the correlation, or the inverse correlation, is incredible on that.
I saw a guy playing for Sambach's third team once, right? And I swear to God, when I was going on the pitch, like why is he not at Saracens? Why is that? He's playing fullback and absolutely jacked, rubbish.
Yeah,
utterly rubbish.
Yep, definitely.
So we've got another scandal.
Sorry. Scandalous.
No, it's fine. It's just we've had some good ones.
We've
had some good ones come in. John Shayak says, Gloucester's woeful kicking percentages continue to get worse as this weekend they missed all four conversions against Saints.
Very good.
Dan Simmons on scandals. Can you confirm next year is Gloucester's year?
Not next year. Maybe the year after.
I think we're on to 21-22.
Yeah, sorry. Well, hang on. 2022 might be there yet. Hang on.
Yeah, 21-22 will be there.
Yeah, hang on. 21-22. Yeah, maybe it is next year.
So not next season, the season after.
Yeah, the start of Gloucester's next year is next year.
Yes, because we're basically now at the end of 2019-2020. Therefore...
Hope that answers his question.
Yes.
Here's one question that I actually don't know the answer to.
What? It's moon landings.
Does a negative test override self-isolation? So
that was the thing I was saying before. Yeah. My assumption is that Dimes is hoping yes. I'm not sure that's right from Premier Rugby, but that's my assumption. Because otherwise, surely if 16 or 19 of their squad, their playing squad and staff have tested positive, then... Every single person who's ever stepped foot in Carrington needs to self-isolate.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. So the rules can't be the same, can they?
It must be. He must be hoping that you can override it with a negative test.
Yeah.
But then you come back to my point before around, what's the incubation period?
But does that not get caught on a test?
I don't know, but then...
So that's why I was kind of getting a bit...
There were 22 positive tests across the league this week.
So you can have no symptoms. So as I understand, nobody at Sale Sharks is ill.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? You have no symptoms, and you might not display for 10 days, but you're still positive. And that's kind of the difference, I thought, between You know, well, that's why I thought for Sale Sharks it was a big deal that they had a false negative.
But then how did... So the, in my mind, the false, I mean, we've been over it, but the false negative shouldn't change anything. But how come... So there were 21 tests, positive tests from the whole of Premier Rugby. 972 tests, 21 people tested positive, of which 19 are in Sale Sharks. How the hell did no one in Northampton? They only played 3 days before these tests. And that to me would suggest, as I said before, there's an incubation period between contracting the virus and then giving a positive test.
Team baths?
Which that
they don't have team baths for.
Who knows?
They don't anymore.
Just one thing which appears to be relatively new. So Chris Jones, the not BBC, Chris Jones, the Times.
Rugby pass.
And Rugby, said... There's real anger from Northampton Saints who refute, this is what I mentioned earlier, refute Premier Rugby's claims that they could have signed extra players, saying, we were not advised this dispensation would not be granted. We therefore had no option to bring in additional players as cover. Lawrence Dallaglio has responded to that, saying, before everyone jumps to conclusions, perhaps it was the RFU and not Premiership Rugby who rejected the requests.
Well, hang on a minute.
And apparently it's the RFU that said, Chris Jones then replied saying, it was the RFU that said no to Sale on Thursday. So again, we've just in terms of the administration and everything going on.
These absolute clowns.
So anyway, so my point being, going back to my main thrust.
That's mental, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not finished. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Not intending to be quite.
No, not at all.
What are the workplace? Do not know who to address these questions to. It is absolutely insane.
Which goes back to my main point. Everyone, stop directing your... And until we get some smoking gun and a picture of a massive orgy in a Manchester University halls of residence...
With a huge amount of enormous South African men.
Yes. Until we get that, or we get some video footage of the Sale's new training exercise where everyone is... You know, licking each other's face or something. I don't know.
Well, no, didn't they have mouth to mouth practice?
Yes,
they were doing their CPR first aid course.
Maybe they're doing that aftershock challenge where they transfer to each other's mouths.
Until we see that, I think the smartest move is to direct any frustration you may feel, which is understandable because we were robbed of this crescendo that we wanted. Direct that towards the administration incredible. Of the game, which appears to be. One hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing.
Yeah, but it's amazing. In the professional game, they don't know whether to ask the RFU or PRL. Why do they not know that? By the way, I've met many people that run the rugby clubs, as in the Premiership clubs, and they are far, far from stupid people. They are the exact opposite to stupid people.
Oh, dear. What a farce. But we might actually get some MWDP this week.
Yeah, we might get a midweek domestic podcast.
I think it's unlikely, but it's possible.
Yeah.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine if Sale lose that, by the way.
Well, it depends on what team they can put out.
Yeah.
Worcester, because they're fully rested, they can put out a full-strength team.
They can. Well, let's talk about a good news story, and a good positive rugby story, and that is Wasps, 11 wins out of 12, 6 wins in a row, 27 tries in their last 4 matches, and second in the Gallagher Premiership, having been 10th in February.
Only 3 points behind Exeter Chiefs as well.
None of it adds up. Simple as that. Like, you want to talk about things that don't add up. This doesn't add up. I can't explain it. They've got one of the weakest squads in the entire Premiership. Every move that they've made, everyone has...
Do they, though?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, they don't now that we know it, but who... You know, cast your mind back to the start of the season. Who would you have signed from their squad? I mean, when Jacob Uma...
Jack Willis was highly rated before. Yeah. He just had a long layoff.
Both Willis boys...
We didn't know Umanga was what he has become. I mean,
as soon as Umanga
Dan Robson would be one that everyone was raving about, but he had a long-term injury.
Okay.
Jimmy Gopeth had a long-term injury. I'm not saying he'd be a player you'd sign, but I'm just pointing that out.
Oh, Gopeth and Fekitoa are class.
Minotsi, you would have thought.
Yeah, but Fekitoa is an All-Black. Fekitoa is just class all round.
Tell you what, Fekitoa has impressed me no end.
Launchbury, I'd have wanted in my team. He's one of those players any club would want.
Brad Shields, captain in Super Rugby victory.
Who was also awful.
You know I love Tommy Taylor.
A long, long time. But I would just go back to the fact that every Premiership rugby team, when you put out their first 15, is pretty good. I mean, even London Irish, when they put out their first 15, look at them and say, bloody hell, that's a good team, right? It's not just about the first team. You look throughout that squad, it is probably... second weakest squad at the start of the year. Now you might disagree with it now.
Let's look at some facts. They lost a lot of talent,
loads of it, and then they sacked the director of rugby
because I think that, well, and as has been said before, and when I was defending Dai Young all those times when they were losing, I was saying he is operating on probably the lowest budget in the whole league.
Undoubtedly. Well, it's one of, if not the.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly.
And so with that as the context, what they've managed to do is remarkable.
Yeah. And they are a special group of players. They must be. Ollie Blackett is the next Jose Mourinho of rugby. I mean, I honestly don't know. I honestly do not know. They've had issues around their training base. Mm-hmm. They train at a lower league club. The facilities are completely adequate, but they're not Bristol Bears. They're not Sale Sharks.
And they've been wanting to build their own training facilities for a few years been totally unable to do so.
I think the straw that should have broken the camel's back for Wasps was Elliot Daly leaving. And it just didn't. In fact, if anything, I mean, it's almost like the example to Sir Alex Ferguson used to give, which was, you know, get rid of your best players and all the rest become 10% better. Well, all these guys became remarkably better. The vision of Lee Blackett to go with Jacob Umanga, I mean, I don't know if you were in the camp this was an obvious thing, but it certainly wasn't obvious to us who watched a lot of rugby. We thought they were mad. They had Sopawanga there and he should start 10. Well, completely incorrect.
And it's very bold and very difficult to make that call, because normal circumstances, money plays.
Yeah.
As in, Sopawanga will be... he'll be one of their marquee players.
But I guess Blackett comes in, doesn't he? And he has no loyalty.
No loyalties to the contracts.
I get that. And I also think that the huge context here is two players that were out for a long time, I've already mentioned, inside Umanga, Dan Robson, who is one of the best players in the Premiership on form.
He's doing very well.
And outside him, Jimmy Gopeth, who is the steadiest of steady hands on the tiller.
Who's 37 now?
37.
And still
breaking. He broke two tackles for a try.
Absolutely class. And he's not the biggest guy. I mean, you had the pleasure of interviewing him. I loved his line at the end.
Yeah. And, Jack Willis isn't playing, so you had to give me this medal, yeah?
Good lad.
Yeah.
Good
lad. He's still absolutely... His longevity has been remarkable. Yeah. When he signed for Wasps, I bet they were not expecting he would still be playing at a level he is at this age.
What I love are the lads that have come in. The Ogreys.
Tom Willis.
Barbieri.
The lad who plays second row, what's his name?
Cardle.
I think he's been absolutely ace. I'd say he's been bloody brilliant. And I didn't rate him to start with because he was one of the guys I thought wasn't so good in a great team when they were really good. It was Bassett, but Bassett's come on leaps and bounds.
Yeah, Bassett has been looking really good.
Yeah. As for Fekitoa, he just likes to annihilate things.
His hitting. who did he put a hit in? Today, he caught them behind. It was the winger, the young.
Oh, Wyatt. Oh,
yeah.
Poor lad.
He read the play so well. It was a poor pass, and he caught him like 5 yards behind the game and just hammered it. But Fekitoa, I watch a reasonable amount of Super Rugby. I can't remember him hitting like that in Super Rugby.
No, I can't.
And it's just I remember his running skills from Super Rugby, his handoff, his offloads, and his pace, his hitting. And his carrying of the ball, he carries so hard.
He's like a different player. It's like he's been It's like he's transformed himself into something else. Because I'm with you. I think of Fekitoa and I think of him in a Highlanders shirt, stepping off and then gassing underneath the posts.
Yeah.
So my image of the player last 2 years was a guy on the decline who's lost his step, lost a yard of pace. Well, maybe he did. Maybe that is all true. But maybe he then went and reinvented himself as an absolute sledgehammer. Well, maybe he's like the Mari Kevin Maggs.
Brad Barrett is the one that comes to mind a little bit. When Brad Barrett was playing 13 for England.
Just atomising people. But yeah. His hitting's been exceptional.
One thing that didn't make the pre-game interview when I asked Lee Blackett, I said, when your tenure started, you were in 10th. And it's not that there was no pressure, but it was a very different kind of pressure to being second, having all this expectation on you to win today to get home semi-final. How are you going to deal with that? And Lee Blackett, actually, he looks so chilled out. And he said, no, do you know what? We were under more pressure then. He said, the Saracens thing, I know we sort of thought, well, we're not going to get relegated, but we were under pressure because we were in 10th. And he said, today, nah. I don't feel any pressure, and I think that sense. And I chatted to Martin Gleeson after the game, and he seems like a real interesting
player,
an attack coach.
But he was at Preston for a bit, wasn't he?
Played at Oral.
Yeah,
did he play at Oral?
He seems like an attack coach, which very very relaxed as well, and a good rugby brain. And I just get that sense that the calmness of and confidence Lee Blackett and Martin Gleeson and these guys are putting into them is translating onto the pitch. And when you've got experienced guys like Launchbury and Gopeth and Fekitoa, like you said, and Robson, there's just a real confidence. 11 wins in 12.
And so they can now play with total freedom because they've already outperformed expectations enormously for this season.
Yeah.
So they can go out and enjoy it. And if the table stays as it is, they'll host Bristol, which that'll be a good game. That's the good matchup.
Bristol never beaten Wasps.
Really?
What? Since their return to the Premiership, yeah.
Okay.
Not ever.
I was going to say, what? In the last 2 years, they've not beaten Wasps.
Yeah, but they've got bad record.
Yeah. But that's a game that's the best matchup for Wasps. Because were Wasps travelling to Exeter, I don't think they'd have a chance. Were they playing a fully fit Sale, a full strength Sale, I think Sale would beat them up front. Yeah. And Bath would do the same. I think Bath would beat them up. Whereas Bristol have got a good pack, but I think this will be a really nicely matched game if that is
the Nathan Hughes Bowl
semi finals.
Yeah. And that's another one they lost.
Yeah.
They're for big money. Yeah. Bye.
Well, the fullbacks that they've had in the last 4 years, they've had four world class fullbacks. They had Pierre Tau, Kirtley Beale, Willie LaRue, Elliot Daly.
Yeah.
And Daly played far more 13 for them. But those four fullbacks in the last 5 years that they've lost is remarkable.
I'd love to know what the lessons are that we can learn from this Wasps team. Like, is it a good idea to get rid of all of your highly paid players? Probably not. But no, if you are going to do it, is there a way to do it? And is there a way to replace them? And when you do replace these guys, how do you bring in different guys? And how do you make sure they fit into your system?
I'm going to give you another name as well. And imagine what difference Will Stewart would have made to this squad as well.
Will Stewart's class.
Yeah.
Absolutely class.
That would have made a massive difference.
Yeah, and it really would have.
Although I've got to say, just seeing Kieran Brooks again today, he is a freakish human being. The shape of that man.
He's a big old boy, isn't he?
He's a massive, and he's actually got a tiny waist and humongous shoulders for a huge man like that.
I played against Kieran Brooks too.
He's like a cube.
Was it Fylde then?
Fylde, yeah. He ran through half our team. Although I did hit. Who was their winger? Fylde winger, you'll know that.
Brennan or Royal?
No, not Royal. The other one,
Ollie Brennan.
Ollie Brennan, I got perfectly with a great tackle. But he did score 3 tries that day, but I did hit him perfectly.
Had a few talented wingers over the years.
It must be difficult for all these clubs. Neither semi-final, we know exactly what it's going to be. So let's work on the assumption that it is going to be Bristol. I agree. That's such an interesting matchup because you've got two teams that really want to have a crack.
Yeah.
I think they might cancel each other out a little bit.
To be honest, I've not even thought about the matchups because I've been so focused on the Sale Sharks debacle, which actually might come into it and then this matchup doesn't happen.
We still don't know what the matchups are because of the Sale factor.
You're right.
Sale can be as high as third or I mean, what scenario? So they could play. Yeah, they could go into fourth as well. They'd have to win, play and win, but only get 4 points. They could go into fourth. So they could take third, fourth, or fifth Sale, depending on what happens.
Yeah, so in the playoffs, I truly believe, as they stand, let's just assume Sale don't
yeah, play. Yeah. So Exeter play Bath, Wasp play Bristol would be the way it goes.
I truly believe that Bath are the second best team out of this lot. As much as I love what Wasp have done, I've got enormous respect for all of their achievements. I think Bath have got better and better and better, and today was probably their first regression since the restart. They are the best team. They are the best equipped team to beat Exeter, although it might play into their strength a little bit.
I'm going to remind you of one game. I was thinking about this sort of towards the end of the game when I was considering what the semi-finals might be, and one of the most important moments for Wasps was that win at the Rec.
Yeah, it was. It really was. But, I mean, it was such a freakish win in so many ways because they went to uncontested scrums, but they managed to keep on 15 lads. They had no line out, and somehow they still did it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean.
It's the weirdest win.
I'm with you, albeit what I would say, rather than Bath are the second best team, Bath have definitely got the second best pack in my mind.
Yep.
And they probably have the second most overall talent, albeit, I guess Bristol and Wasp both push them close. But to have guys like Rocco Watson, JJ, McConaughey, who's just been brilliant, Faletau, Spencer in the first half was brilliant today. They've got so much talent.
Matavesi has been playing out of his mind. Matavesi has
been class.
Matavesi is exactly the player that they needed to do a little bit of Jamie Roberts and then a little bit of Redpath and to help out where Priestland doesn't always excel.
He's the player that they wanted when they signed Benny Tapps.
Yeah.
But he's not the player they got when they signed Benny Tapps, but it's the player they should have got.
Hang on, I'm confused now.
Benny Tapuai, who went to Quinns.
Yeah, I was about to ask that. Did he go to Quinns?
Yeah, he was on the bench today. By the way,
he's still there.
Did you see Did you see shirt number 23 for Exeter today?
James Shaw. The Corona boy.
They obviously listened and went, hold on.
James has been doing this gig for 12 out of the last 13 weeks. We've got to freshen it up.
Yeah, it's got to the point. I reckon James Short knocked on the door and went, listen to that.
They're onto us, boss.
Played Rob Baxter a bit of egg chasers. They're onto us.
No wonder Rob Baxter was so shirty with you.
He wasn't shirty with me.
I saw the way he looked at
you. One thing I really, really
like.
Tell
you what, you don't talk to Rob like you do Steve Diamond.
What are you talking about?
You don't get on to Rob Baxter like you do with Steve Diamond.
Did you hear my first question this morning?
Steve Diamond alone.
Did you hear my first question to Rob Baxter?
You probably warned him.
Did you hear it?
I said
to Rob Baxter, Rob, last week, you, due to the low number of positive cases, you questioned the nature and the cost of testing. What do you think today?
He gave a little wry smile.
Smile and went. Basically, he actually used the words at the end, but after his long answer, he just went, "I think I'll keep my mouth shut from now on."
I loved his answer because it was he kind of knowingly admitted that he was wrong about that point and admitted the benefit to all of it.
Yeah,
love Baxter.
I love that man. I do. I love cool, Dimes as well.
He's very cool.
I do love Dimes.
Did you notice? I hate these posters. Did you notice the poster that Dimes had on the wall behind him today?
Yes, I did.
I was like, just an eye test poster. I didn't see it.
Isn't it?
Was it what?
Would it look like an eye test poster to me?
It's a bit like that, but it's not that. I'm a Manc, and I hate these posters. It's on the sixth day God created man.
Chester. Now there's one place. If you do come to Manchester for a weekend, it's a very cool place to go to, just to see something a bit weird. Go for a little drink up the top, Affleck Palace.
Yeah,
and a drink there.
You can up the top. There's a bar.
Is there?
It used to be like a cafe thing. I think you can get a drink. You can get a good beer up there now. Anyway.
Huh.
Anyway, I believe.
How high is it?
Rooftop bar?
I don't know, actually.
How many stairs do I need to go?
I might be wrong on this. Anyway, but Affleck and Brown's is somewhere that my old man used to work when he was a bellboy, when he was a kid, when he was a teenager. Oh,
did he used to be something else?
He was a policeman, but that's when he was...
No, did the Affleck's Palace...
Affleck and Brown's was a department store.
Was it really?
Now it's Affleck's Palace, which is like this loads of independent traders doing interesting things in there. Why did I bring this up?
Because of
on the sixth day.
And it was a mural on the wall of Affleck's Palace. It was a mural, like a when you have the bits of
mosaic.
That's it. It was a mosaic mural that said on the God, and on the sixth day God created man.
So allegedly, I mean, I don't appreciate Manchester nearly enough, and actually over the pandemic you can't really anyway. But do you know this? You can go for walking tours around because Manchester used to be powered by steam. So you can go, you can walk around all of the old steam, all of the steam tunnels.
The steam tunnels.
Oh, the tunnels underneath the ground. Yeah. Yes, I know one of the guys who leads the tours, or led the tours before it all shut down.
Ugh. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, well, when it's all up and running, I now need to add Manchester steam tunnels to going to Old Trafford cricket ground more often.
Yes.
And drinking in Affleck's Palace.
Drinking at
I will check that out. Altitude. I think there's a bar up top.
I've not been since I was about 18.
I've not been since my last stag do when I needed to get a fancy dress outfit.
Needed to get some some poppers.
Yeah. I dressed like Jeremy Corbyn, so I went there to get to get communist paraphernalia.
That's exactly the place you get that.
Yeah.
Wasps extra? Anything else to say on the game?
No, just
good, very good win.
Yeah, very good win for Wasps against Exeter's second team.
13
in a lot of positions.
2.5 team. Bath Saracens, I actually quite
enjoyed. Yeah, I didn't see this, obviously, so fill me in.
I did watch this. Well, I watched parts of it. So what I did is I watched until I thought it got uncompetitive, and then I turned on to a different game, and that became uncompetitive. And then I turned on to the third game, which then became uncompetitive. And then I doubled back onto Bath versus Saracens. So Bath were building nicely. The first 10, maybe 20 minutes of the game, I thought Bath look absolutely class and they're going to blow Saracens away here. Better up front, better in the backs. Spencer was getting the better of Wigglesworth quite comfortably. Spencer, by the way, at least for those 10 minutes, looks like the England nailed on nine. I can't see past him.
Yeah, and I can't as well. I think he's got to be playing.
He's got to be in the squad. He'll start on the bench and then get brought in.
I don't want Youngs playing. I want him and Robson to be the two.
I'd go
for 1A and 1B. I think Spencer would edge it for me.
That's not Eddie's way, though, is he? Eddie's going to start with Ben Youngs and Spencer will be on the bench.
No, he'll bring Willie Hines off the bench.
Willie Hines will start and then they'll bring Spencer off the bench. And then they'll bring Youngs off the bench and re-establish himself and that'll be it until the next World Cup. So Spencer looked class and I thought, Saracens don't often get things wrong. But I have a feeling they might have got something horribly wrong letting Spencer go. I'm sure they would have wanted him. But they also got it wrong not playing him more. Or not playing him like he plays him. He seems to be a different player at Bath to what he was in Saracens. I don't know if that's because they play differently or because they ask different things of their nines. But he seems to have come on 10-20% and he was already very good. They scored the first two tries. I turn over. By the time that I turned back, Saracens were back in the game. And for the life of me, I do not know what is wrong with Bath. They're just... They feel fragile for some reason. They can be incredibly good. They are comfortably the second best team in the country when they are playing like they can. When they play up to their potential, I include Sale in that. I include everyone else, but they just can't. They just can't maintain it. I don't know what's wrong with them.
And in this game, the way I read it was, Bath were brilliant for the first 20 minutes for all the reasons that you set out, but Saracens looked like they weren't even switched on. Saracens were operating at about 15% of their capability.
Yeah.
But Bath were having to operate at 100%, 110% in order to go those two tries up. And Bath simply couldn't operate at that level for the full game. And Saracens just, they went from 15 to 20%, they went from 20 to 30%. And they probably only played like the last 20 minutes where they were really on form. And by that point, Bath had almost tired themselves out. They didn't seem capable of stepping up to match Saracen's level.
It might have been
a fitness thing. It might have just been that they were so up for it and worked. They worked so hard and they had to work so hard to get their deserved lead that they just couldn't keep that up. And had the game gone on for 5 minutes, 10 minutes longer, Saracens
yeah,
win
and,
that.
And look, I think there's a bit of context for Bath here. They were playing against Saracens who had all that emotion surrounding this fixture. And they're playing against Saracens who, you know, minus a couple of players in Brad Barrett and Duncan Taylor.
Villapola.
And Mako.
Those are big players.
But I get that. But they're playing against a team all at home, at their home, with all that emotion surrounding the fixture, who took Racing to the wire in a Champions Cup semi-final a week ago. So I don't think we should... I mean, yes, they got themselves into a winning position, but it might be slightly disrespectful to Saracens to suggest that Bath sort of underachieved.
Yeah, I can see that. It just... Had you only watched the first 20 minutes of that game, you'd say, bloody hell, this Bath are going to walk this. JB did when he switched off. You thought Bath were by far the better team.
I tell you what, second half, I didn't think Cock and Singer did well at all.
Well, he definitely didn't do well in fantasy rugby draft when he came on. That's all I cared about.
Yeah,
I will admit I was hitting refresh on our fantasy rugby draft final, and I'm doing it even now. I'm refreshing
to see. Keep going till tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning when the final points are confirmed. But I may well be the Let the Boys Play League champion.
Yes, congratulations,
well
Tim.
Well deserved, well deserved.
Well, we'll wait and see.
I think Ollie's getting his lawyers involved.
you better lawyer up, Tim, because Ollie has got...
Elections, leagues, everything now is only settled one way, lawyers. You better have some deep pockets.
What is the trophy again? Is it just a little cup?
Is it just a little cup?
No, I mean...
No, it is just a little cup.
It is a little cup, yeah. Like the Ashes.
A bit bigger than the Ashes.
I won... My fantasy football cup, we were in a league and a cup. I won the cup last season. And the trophy that I've got sitting on my mantelpiece is about 2 feet high.
Yeah,
it's massive.
I think as the champion, that might be my... That might be my my impact on the league. I might change the trophy. I might get a bespoke trophy for us.
Yeah, now you're talking.
What would you make it out of? I'd like it out of marble.
Marble.
<Yeah.
laughs>
Have you ever watched The League?
It was on
Netflix. It's very, very funny. I don't think it is anymore, but it's about a fantasy.
Although they're
football
nowhere near
draft.
As conniving as the FDR League. As you in the FDR League.
Yeah, quite.
These allegations are...
I don't want to make any more allegations.
But JB, you better a lawyer up if you keep making these allegations.
I don't want to make any more. Tim's very litigious.
But I might cast a new trophy in bronze in my own image. Maybe that'll be... The trophy will be the cocker. I don't know.
Wow. Imagine that.
It's going to be bronze filled with marble. And he's going to live in the cocker residence.
Well, definitely a marble base. You've got to have a marble base.
Definitely a marble base.
I'm on the case.
If it's anything less than 1,000 kilos, than a metric ton.
Yeah, it has to be towed everywhere.
You're doing it wrong.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, what's the most obnoxious trophy in sport? Because the new Champions Cup is up there, isn't it? It's a stupid little crown on it and all sorts.
The NHL trophy, I seem to remember.
The Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
It's ginormous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's got a load of...
It's like a three-tiered cake or something, isn't it?
That's got loads of names around it, so that's quite cool. It's not the actual trophy itself.
Yeah, that's right.
Now,
the French Top 14 trophy and Untermack doing surfing on it.
That is cool.
Which some British fans went, this is outrageous, look at him, the arrogant... So and so, but what I love about that trophy is that it's part of the tradition of winning the top 14
to beat it up, isn't it?
To sort of beat it up and to do all kinds of mad things with it, which I love. Just creating memories and stories. It's like the Calcutta Cup got a dent in it because
dent. It nearly got written off.
Yeah, it nearly got written off because Dean Richards and the Scottish back row John Jeffries back in 81 maybe. Or not, maybe 1990. No, 1990.
I've got a feeling it was before the grudge.
Yeah. I think it might have been. It might have been that. Anyway, it's sometime in the late 80s or whatever. They were playing a game of football with it on a Scott in an Edinburgh street after a night on the
Edinburgh
pitch.
Cobbled street, no doubt.
Yeah. Make sure that you do get a marble base. And then, I might take it more seriously for next year.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway. So well done to all the FRD winners.
Yes.
Of all the leagues, because, there was a lot of stuff to contend with. But, yeah, I can't believe. So, basically, me winning our FRD league would be the equivalent of...
We're still on FRD?
Fancy Rugby Draft.
Yeah, yeah. Are we still doing this?
Yeah, yeah, I'm saying it would be the equivalent of Sale somehow sneaking into the playoffs and then going on and winning.
Because it was a 20... So until the morning that the scores reset, you had like a 20-point deficit to be overturned.
In the last round of real games.
In the last round of real games.
Regular games.
You were losing when the game's finished and until the following morning when it reset and you overcame it by a handful of points to knock me out of the
I do like that I did it by knocking you out and then in the semi-final by knocking JB out.
Let's not talk about my
want to be the
Premier
best
Premier Rugby-esque knowledge of FDR rules.
If you want to be the best, you've got to beat the best, Tim. Yeah. And you certainly have done that by beating me and Ollie Poole.
Yes. What did you see of the Bristol Irish game?
So Radrada's try.
Yeah, let me talk about Radrada's try.
Randrandra.
Because
always catches me out as well.
It wasn't Radrandra's try, it was Piers O'Connor's try.
Piers O'Connor has been so good since the restart.
All I saw of it was Semi again. Look at Semi, he's amazing.
Bloody hell, Piers O'Connor gets the ball in his own half, accelerates like the Millennium Falcon, puts a weapons grade handoff in someone's chest, steps.
What a signing he's been, by the way. From Ealing.
I thought he came through their academy or something. Gets a turn one, perfectly weighted pass. Randrandra goes over. What a try by Semi Randrandra. Randrandra does it again. Like, if anything sums up Piers O'Connor, it is that try.
Piers O'Connor has been absolutely class. He's playing on the wing this week. He can play 12-13 wing.
There must be a place for him in England, though.
No.
Why?
No, why? Well, why? Just because he can play in a few positions, put him in the squad?
Because he's class.
He is class at this level.
He's great.
You don't think he could step up?
He'd be a great fantasy rugby draft signing.
He would be, yeah.
Ooh, especially if he's playing wing.
If he's centre, then plays all wing.
He's going on wing.
So he's named as a midfielder, listed as a midfielder, plays wing.
I like it. I like the days of Clive Woodward.
So he's played, interesting, he's played Ireland under-19s, England under-20s, even though he was born in Sydney, Australia.
Well, do you know Bristol have got another one of those?
He's qualified to play Australia, New Zealand, Ireland and England.
That's good. What's the fly half's name again? I've forgotten.
Which one?
Bristol.
Johan Lloyd's the young one. Callum Sheedy.
Callum Sheedy has played for, has played representative rugby, I think, for age grade England, Ireland and Wales.
Is that right? Mm. That's pretty cool. So I tell you what, between Sheedy, Lloyd and the other boy who will be going back soon, Saracen's lad.
Malins.
Who, by the way, is also very good.
He absolutely butchered some try-scoring moment, did he?
That was pretty bad. They've got really interesting, maybe two interesting options at 10. Because everyone's young, everyone is talented. It's not like the usual conundrum of like a Steenson and then a Simmons and then someone underneath Simmons.
Yeah.
It's actually really, really competitive. And I wonder if it'll be to the detriment of one of those lads. Because if you play Malins and develop him, that's no good. He's going back soon.
Yeah. So he's got one more year and then he goes back to Saracens.
Yeah,
Malins will be played as like a utility replacement because he can play 15 and 10.
Sheedy's very good, but does he have the natural talent of Ewan Lloyd? He's going to be absolutely awesome.
Well, what I like about Sheedy is he does very, very simple things very, very well. So he has all these incredible athletes cutting lines, running moves, and he just gives the ball.
Yeah. Pick the right option.
That's it.
You don't see much fancy stuff from him.
No, nothing
which,
fancy.
Which is necessary when you've got Radrada and Piatau and Monaghan and Piers O'Connor and Leua all running lines outside.
Are you ready for my mental comment of the week?
Another one?
Yeah, more so. Maybe this is the most stupid thing I've said ever. It's up there, I'm sure. We just spoke about Ben Spencer kind of being unleashed to play to his full potential. I don't think I've ever seen Malins play so well. I don't think I've ever seen Earl play so well.
Oh, Earl's last season at Saracens.
Yeah. Earl was good last season, but he's awesome at the moment.
He is awesome at the moment, yeah.
So what's your mental statement of the week?
Well, I've not even finished yet.
Oh, OK.
Ezekwe is starting to get rave reviews at Northampton, as far as you can get rave reviews at Northampton.
Northampton, yeah.
You don't think Saracens were holding them back somewhat, do you? Because they're actually playing better.
Well,
I think it's the context. They're in a squad full of that, so you don't notice them as much.
And also the benefit of Saracens, but also the problem of Saracens is they've got such a big and deep squad. You can rotate. Like for the longest time, Jamie George was being rotated with Scout Brits.
He was.
Like two phenomenal hookers.
And John Schmidt just hanging on in the background, just to, you know, give a little bit of him.
When you say, like, the team makes the player.
Yeah.
Or, like, they're greater than the sum of their parts.
Yeah.
Maybe they weren't. Like, if that Mullins and Earl and Spencer, I said, oh, that's good right now. Maybe, I'd love to see how the lads are getting on in France. Like, is, what's his name? The American prop who I've forgotten though.
Oh, yeah, T.T. Lamassatelli.
Is he tearing it up in France? I mean, I'd love to know how those boys are getting on.
Well, here's an alternative thing. With the inability to rotate as much, you left this space open which other players had to fill, going back to your Alex Ferguson point. Look at Alex Lewington since the restart. He's been ace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people might have looked at him before as, oh, he's a bit of a Saracen squad player, but
Lewington was ace.
Even in Champions Cup semi-final, he looked ace.
So he might actually kind of prove the point the reverse way,
yeah,
which was he was the man at London Irish. Like, you'd give him the ball and he'd basically make it half your yards. They went over to Saracens and we kind of, well, he's not that good.
Third choice winger.
Yeah, you see him occasionally. Oh no, he's absolutely ace. Same with Maitland, to be fair. Maitland at London Irish, when we watched them, certainly in New York, he was comfortably the most talented guy on the pitch. So, yeah, maybe Saracens were so crammed with talent, they played 20% worse than they actually are. How could Maro Itoje be if he moves?
Unleash the Maro.
Yeah, let's let him free.
And look how good Dom Morris was.
Yeah.
Dom Morris, who? Oh no, he's just going to be look class in Heineken Cup semi-final.
So Duncan Taylor would be another one who came from
London Scottish,
that's
amazing.
And was not up to much. But I tell you what, he looks enormous on TV at least.
Like, the hair point. Adds a few, yeah, about 3 inches hair, onto him.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so, interesting point. Not that mad.
Yeah, the Saracens were being held, all their talent was being held back.
I take that back.
There's some interesting stuff around that.
Yeah, maybe I don't mean exactly that. Someone tell me what I mean on Twitter.
Queen's Leicester happened.
Yeah, that was a thing. That one in the history books as a thing.
They scored some tries, kicked some sticks.
I mean, I don't know if it's a top Queen's team. Might be, might not be. Certainly Leicester's best team. Rubbish. and they deserve to lose. I'm glad they lost.
And that was Leicester's best team, wasn't it?
Yeah, Merivalu played.
They had
Genji, Young's, Cole.
Van Vijk made his debut on the wing.
They're rebuilding, aren't they, with all that money and all that.
Yeah, how many other players are to come in? There's not many now, is there? There's a few.
Not many. With Merivalu and Van Vijk in, there can't be too many
it's
now.
Like, what I'm saying is not the basis of a good team. I mean, maybe it's a basis of a good team. They need better squad players.
There is some talk that the championship could potentially not happen this season.
Oh, I don't have the energy to deal with this. What? When? When is this next bombshell after the next? Well, the last bombshell.
We don't know. It's just that there's issues below the Premiership.
Of course, there are issues. Yeah, nothing would surprise me anymore. Would surprise me.
There was headlines in the rugby paper this week around. Mirroring a format that you suggested previously, JB, of having regional tournaments
below the championship below this season.
Was it just for this season,
that
proposal?
They should put me in charge. They should absolutely put me in charge.
JB 2021.
Yeah, I'm too lazy to actually do it, though.
But you have the banners and everything.
You're
not lazy enough to get the banners.
Hang on a minute.
You had all those confetti cannons.
Yeah, and plus.
You had all those red hats.
Nickel, if you snuck it in, all you have to do is cross out the zero from the Joe Biden banners. Just go and start collecting them.
Exactly, JB 2021. Yeah, it's a lot of work, and, if someone could tell me, the actual dates and how I do it, I might do it. It's a lot of work for a mere £30,000 worth of expenses.
So semi-finals
per away fixture.
Per away fixture, yeah, it's a lot of work.
Let's just have a quick look at the semi-finals as if they're happening as the table is now.
Okay, so if it stays the same, if the Sale game gets cancelled, or Sale lose, then Exeter would host Bath, Wasps would host Bristol.
Right, Exeter Bath then.
I mean,
these are two good matchups. These it's the best combination.
It's like
of matchups.
two matchups that cancel each other out a little bit, which could mean it's very tense games, or it could mean it's just.
I think they'll both be close games.
Yeah, I think so.
I think Bath Exeter. I mean, on paper, it certainly looks like a even-ish matchup. It certainly looks like Bath are the best equipped to take on Exeter, if you're going to take them on in the traditional way, which is up front. But I just don't think Exeter are going to play that game, and I don't mean play the game of being powerful up front. I mean just bother playing the game that Bath want to. I think they'll just dispatch them. They've been playing big teams over in Europe. They know exactly what they're doing. They're not fazed by the big event, and more importantly, they've shown staying power, whereas Bath have shown none. They came up against it at Saracens, and I think it's a really important game. I mean, in fact, in many ways, this is almost like the worst scenario for them, because they haven't proved to themselves that they could beat Saracens. They came out with a draw against not a great Saracens team. If they'd have won that, I think I would say, well, they're not favourites, but they'd be a lot closer to
winning.
They
can do it.
Yeah, they can do it. I wonder if they have that doubt now that they don't have the staying power, whereas Exeter have no doubt whatsoever.
And the Bath team has been through what is a very tough game, and they expended a huge amount of energy and a huge amount of emotional energy going through that. Exeter have been, it was their second, third team. Exeter are focused on the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
They know three games in 3 weeks. They win all those three games. They've got two trophies, and they make history.
Yeah.
So they will be totally single-mindedly focused on that, the team that's going to play. So I have every confidence. It won't be routine. It never is. But I really think Exeter are strong favourites in this.
I agree. I think they'll win. Yeah, you say it's not routine. I think they'll win in a relatively routine manner. Actually, hate to go against you there.
I just
because they make everything routine.
Yeah, friend of the pod, Steve Parrott on Twitter mentioned it would be hubris. Exeter Chiefs fans would think it hubris to think that it would be a routine win, or he didn't use quite exactly those words, but I think his perspective on that is correct. I still think Exeter are strong favourites.
Yeah,
agreed.
And then Wasps hosting Bristol. Now I think this game could be absolute dynamite. However, if the pressure of the occasion gets to both teams, it could be terrible. if they're trying things and it's just not coming off.
So on these two teams, they're similar in so many ways, but maybe one of the ways they're most similar and most underrated is how functional they are and how they play the expansive stuff by playing good stuff or playing necessary stuff just as well. One of the examples that I got the other day was how many tries Bristol have scored from driving walls.
Mm.
Everyone assumes that they're just flinging it around wide, and they are to a certain degree.
Yeah.
But they are doing their basics well too. Wasps against Harlequins, when the commentary team was saying, throw it wide, that's where the space is. No, it's not. They were disciplined and they went down the middle until the space did.
Earn the space.
Yeah. They earned it. They did all the hard, necessary nuts and bolts stuff. So I think this will open up, but only once they're comfortable that it is time to open up. They're incredibly well matched. I'm just trying to think how.
Is Peter Tau all right? Because he didn't play today.
Which was the game? The game 2 weeks ago, where he played the first half but just did not look comfortable.
Yeah.
It was the game against Dragons. The Dragons game. He played the first half, had a terrible game, didn't look comfortable. And we've not seen him since then, I don't think. So I don't know. I don't know what the injury is. But in Malins or Johan Lloyd, whoever they bring in, they've got.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not Sir Charles.
No.
But they are seriously talented boys.
Indeed.
They'll be okay.
They'll be all right.
I hate to say this because I lavish so much praise on Wasps before, and I do think what they've done is amazing. I'm kind of just waiting for them to have a good beating. They seem to be ripe for good. It seems like if someone could just pin them down, they could punch them in the face multiple times and really beat them up, but
do you think Bristol are the team? Because I don't think Bristol are the team to do that.
No, I don't either.
No, I don't.
Exeter are the team to do that. Sale could be the team to do that.
Yeah, well,
Bath
Sale
could
did
be
do
the
that,
team.
To be fair. That's exactly what Bath did. Sorry, Sale did.
Yeah.
And that's what Bath almost did, except for some freak circumstances.
Yeah.
So Wasps are 11 from 12. They've got Joe Launchbury and Jack Willis to come back into their 15 from the side that were there today. Assuming everyone's fit, I think it'll be pretty much it'll be the same other than those two guys. Mm-hmm. And I think Wasps... I think the one thing you say is Wasps always seem to hang in. The way they won that Quins game, not playing well, just hung in. I mentioned the game away at Bath.
Yeah.
But they had no right to win that, and they just dogged it out. So there's an element where I'm sort of thinking I'm waiting for them to come unstuck, but actually they seem a little bit tougher than maybe we're giving them credit for, and their scrum's been good.
Yeah, they're a very unusual team to describe, aren't they? Because they're actually very disciplined in the areas that you need to be disciplined. It's only maybe in attack that they can get loose, which is kind of where you want to be loose. Sometimes you are loose in attack at the expense, because it's almost a mindset or an ethos, and you lose focus of your set piece and your scrum and your defence. But they seem to have a nice balance there, which allows them to get the most out of their talent. I have no idea. I honestly have no idea how someone plays out. I would say, across the season, I'd say Bristol would be favourites. But this is restart, and they've been bloody brilliant since restart. And they're the second best team in the country by rights. So I don't know.
Is this fixture scheduling... And the fact that we've got Bristol and Exeter in the top four, who are also in the final of Europe, is this going to compromise both Bristol and Exeter's chances at both tournaments? As in...
No, because of Europe, I think I'm right in saying that Bristol have to play on Saturday.
In Europe?
No, they have to play on Saturday this coming weekend. Okay. There's the Rico game, if it's Wasps-Bristol, will be on Saturday. Whoever Bristol play, that game will be on Saturday.
Oh, let's talk about the potential fans, or the actual fans.
Well, no, Steve Vaughan from Wasps, I think, made a comment that hopefully they'd like to think they'd be allowed some fans in the ground, but if not, that they'll look to get them into the hospitality areas, pre-match meal, watch it on TV. So I think it happened at Tottenham Hotspur this weekend in the football.
Because it's maybe like a pub.
You could have a massive load of Wasps fans watching the game on the telly inside the stadium.
Yeah.
What a farce.
Black out the windows.
What an absolute farce. And presumably you can go outside for a cigarette and watch the game.
No smoking in the stadium. You have to go out to the car park for a cigarette.
Yeah. Whatever they do now.
Yeah. But in terms of scheduling Europe, I think possibly both games will happen on Saturday.
So all I'm thinking is that they've got, kind of ignoring whether they've got a 6 day or 7 day rest, but it's just the fact that these two teams, well, they definitely know they've got two back to back fixtures.
Yeah.
As in they've got the semi final, the playoffs for the Premiership. The following weekend is the final of Europe. And then if they are so lucky to get to the final of the Premiership, that will be the third weekend of the three. And does that make it more difficult to get those back-to-back wins? We saw Saracens a few years ago. We've seen them do the double, and we've seen them fail to do a double, I seem to remember, on consecutive weekends.
So Exeter are going to be fully fresh for the semi-final. So
yeah,
that won't 100%. Be a that won't be a factor. I think doubling up and backing up one win, then a week later... They've only got to travel to Bristol for the Champions Cup final.
Yeah.
And backing it up, that's fine. By which time they'll have a champion... If they do well in that, they'll have a Champions Cup in their trophy cabinet. So if they back it up and get the double, that's fine. But if not, they're already European champions.
Yeah, so which they'd take.
They'd take.
But they want both.
Yeah.
And they should get both. They've been the best team in the Premiership this season. They should...
If they win, or if they beat Bath, I should say...
Or Sale, or Bristol.
Indeed. But let's say it's Bath. I know they won't be thinking like this, but I think the job largely for Exeter at that point is done. I don't think they fear Wasps. I don't think that they fear Bristol. That said, I think Bristol beat them full strength away at Sandy Park.
Not many teams do.
Did we, Rob Baxter, after the game, I was trying to get him to sort of talk about this dreamy, romantic... journey that Exeter have been on. It's like, look back over the last 10 years, Rob, and look, here you are 3 weeks from glory. And his response was, do you know what? I'm thinking about training on Monday. I'm thinking about training on Tuesday or whatever. And we're going to be watching we've got a bit of game tape to watch to do some analysis on the way back on the coach.
Is the kind of question he will answer. That question when he's got those two trophies.
When he's got
in the bag,
two trophies,
and not a moment before.
It's one of those things. I always find it weird how suspicious the coaches are. They never want to mouth off because they never want it to come back on them. I mean, I'd have no problem with that. I would have no problem whatsoever. I just think it's funny. Like they never say.
No, I don't think he was being defensive. I think he meant it. I think he's been completely.
Do you think there's an attitude amongst DORs? Like, there's accepted attitude, which is you can only talk about the future, never about the past. They always say that. It's like, yeah, well, what's gone is gone. We'll be focusing on training tomorrow or the next game. Some of it is cliche, but some of it actually, I think, is real.
I don't know. A lot of those responses are just kind of media trained. You see this, and you'll know who gives you the media trained responses and who doesn't. I don't know what it is with Baxter though. I think it's legit.
I think he totally meant it.
I don't think he means it. Gets where he is, unless he is legit.
So,
did you see the Baxter's not very clever comments going on this week?
Yeah.
No? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this another Twitter thing?
Yeah, it's just Twitter being
all
Twitter.
All the nice people commenting.
Oh, all of the lovely people who don't want people's nans to die.
Stupid. Turns out being a good coach doesn't. Anyone who thinks Rob Baxter's job, right, is simply to put cones out and tell players how to pass a ball or how to scrimmage has complete. They don't know about rugby. They're, frankly, morons. Because it's so much more than that. There are rugby coaches that do just do that. But he has plotted and schemed his way all the way to the top of the game from a club with very little history. And he's done so by not just knowing about rugby, which he undoubtedly knows inside out, but knowing people, how to build teams,
management, how to manage conflict, how to build relationships with people, how to get buy-in from a group, how to treat that person differently to that person.
You know, how to engage a whole community down in the Southwest into rugby. What he has done has been...
He sits on board meetings. He's on the board at Exeter as well.
But he's not clever because he doesn't agree with some idiots on Twitter.
Who have a different
opinion on bloody COVID policy.
Get off Twitter.
Yeah,
just get off Twitter.
Agree. We've already spent far
too... There are too many good parts of it. I just focus on the negatives. I just think that's... You know, how stupid must you be to think Rob Baxter is not clever?
No, it's not. It's not about stupid. How the more you think Rob Baxter is stupid for coming up with a position on any topic or other people on various topics, it's not about. You're actually showing how kind you are.
That's true.
That's the point.
That's it. It's all
you're just not
you.
Kind enough.
Yeah, you're such a good person. That's exactly what it is.
And that's always filling a void. I studied psychology. That's always projection, filling a void that you know there is a little emptiness in you or an insecurity in you that you're filling by. You're just projecting onto the world your own insecurities. Classic.
So he is looking forward to training on Monday. What did you follow up with?
That was it.
What did you follow up with? What are you doing on training?
What are you going to do? No, I just really like that. It's got three massive weeks ahead. I'm thinking of Tuesday.
I bet they've got a lot of work to get through though.
Oh, one thing I did love, without the crowds and stuff, you can hear the players on the pitch loads. And Dan Robson, his nickname Dobby, might be the best nickname in the Premier League.
Now I have a question for you, a technical question. Is there a man or a woman or someone who doesn't identify either way, perhaps? Who is sitting there with buttons for when they score for loud noise? How does it work?
So I assume yes.
Like just a soundboard?
Basically. Kind of like your soundboard.
It's a bit risky, though, if they get the button wrong like on a try or...
Put the Egg Chasers theme tune on.
Yeah, they put the theme tune on or booing.
Or the Twitter knives.
Actually, that's a great point, which is... I guess when they load up their soundboard, is it only with positive noises?
Yeah, there'll be no booing, will there?
Yeah, like a red card, they don't... abuse from the crowd.
Send him off! Get him off the field!
It's all positive. It's only the best part of rugby. Yeah. How convenient not to have crowds. You can manipulate them only to be positive.
So you could get a job there reprogramming someone's soundboard for all the negative sounds.
Yeah.
You're rubbish, ref.
Yeah, exactly.
Every, you suck. No, what ref, the fans suck. Say, every time, ref. Every yeah. time.
Offside, every time. He's boring in. He's boring in. Are you sure you know what you're talking about? He's boring every time. He's boring in. Maybe the Sale fans are the worst for that.
Every bunch they're of fans are awful.
There's yeah, there are some incredible rugby fans. There are also incredibly some fans who don't understand the laws of the game.
I love it. I love
so many.
I love it when I hear,
which is fine because but then I wouldn't shout with such confidence.
Exactly. It's fine not knowing the laws of the game. Screaming at the ref because you don't understand the laws.
It's like it's that phase, knowing a little about something's yeah. worth.
So I don't have the confidence that you do, Phil. Because when I hear something which I don't understand, I assume I've missed something. It's boring. In where? In at the side. Oh, the offside call from open play. That's a classic. He makes an interception. He's offside. It's open play.
So I've witnessed this. So I was the match announcer at Sale for a few years, and I used to stand by the
biggest
tunnel.
Mistake that club's ever made.
Oh, I know, I know.
Ever made.
I used to stand by the tunnel, which is where some of the most diehard season ticket holders. So I used to chuckle all the time when they'd come out with all this stuff. But then similarly, when I was just used to go and watch my brother play a lot. And every time I went to an away ground, I'd hear all the different away, which is why I can say with absolute confidence that they're all exactly the same.
Are they?
Yeah.
Just, mind you, diehard rugby fans are weird.
When you're plugged into one team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a generic rugby fan.
Yeah, yeah, neutral.
Totally neutral.
But I think Irish fans have this in particular. They don't have any football teams, do they? So I think they're more passionate.
Yeah, you don't, you?
Yeah, whatever that is. I'm sure it's very important. I'm sure it's very important, right? But because they don't have any football fans, I guess all the people who would otherwise support a football team, sorry, don't have any football teams, all the fans who would otherwise support a football team head towards rugby. Now, that's no bad thing.
No, I mean, more premiership.
No, the GAA sports are massive in Ireland.
They are massive.
Yeah, and everyone in Ireland supports a Premier League team as well.
But they can't go to the games, right?
Well, so a couple of years ago, when I was at All Blacks versus Ireland over in Ireland, I got a lift from a taxi driver. He's like, "Oh, where are you from?" Manchester. He's like, "Oh, I've got a Manchester United season ticket."
Wow.
So he travels from Dublin
to
Old Trafford every week.
Stuart Lancaster travels back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
Leeds International to Dublin.
Yeah, it's fair.
See Big Stew.
My point is, I guess, there are people who'd otherwise be supporting a football team who come to support a rugby team, which is maybe why their support is a little bit more passionate, say, than the English equivalents. Because they're definitely more passionate as fans. There's no two ways about it.
Being in...
They're more partisan.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. I mean, Leinster and Munster particularly, Ulster I'm sure are the same. All their fans at home are amazing, but Leinster and Munster on the road in the Heineken Cup is one of the great parts of that competition.
Yeah. It's not a knock, it's not a downside.
No,
but they all,
no.
They
make great spectacles.
A passionate bunch.
Wearing old-fashioned shirts with shorts and boat shoes, running on the pitch to
vent your frustrations at enormous English Polynesian
That's
men.
That's how passionate they are. They'll,
passionate.
They'll put their own life in danger.
Yeah,
that was the equivalent of like being on a safari jeep and jumping out to across the rhino.
I don't find many... there are some English rugby fans that are as passionate as Munster and Lancelot, but usually they're sort of just resigned to whatever fate that their team gives them. Some of the Sale fans were back in the day. Like, oh, well, there we go, another loss.
If you want to find them, they're all on Twitter on a Friday when there's a potential scandal kicking off, evidently.
Have you got anything more to say about these games?
No. Let's hope we have a midweek domestic podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
It'll be quite nice.
And God knows what that will throw up.
And then there are other... I mean, there are other things that are... So scandalous. That we could have talked about, but maybe we'll save that for an MWDP.
Oh, yeah.
All roads lead back to Sam Burgess, but maybe let's see if anything comes out in the next couple of days, and then maybe we can...
I don't have the energy to talk about Sam Burgess right now.
No, exactly.
This room is getting warm as well.
It's getting hot. Getting warm. It's getting warm. So thank you very much for listening. If you want... Don't come and see me on Twitter. I'm not doing anything there. At Cocker.
Come see me.
Not interested. See him instead at J Beardmore. Or at Rugby Podcast if you want. Phil's lurking.
Always.
Hit subscribe. We may have a midweek domestic podcast. We may have another scandalous midweek podcast. we may actually have some rugby to talk about. We'll wait and see. Hit subscribe in the feed and it'll get delivered to you regardless. We're on Acast, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts and everywhere, anywhere else. And let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.